presence of the Lord is here. Can I say this again? His presence is here. We know, we can feel it. But the presence of God must be, you have to surrender to the presence of God. The presence of God will never force or be forced on you. It's like I said this morning, you know, when the presence comes in, you don't have words. It's just tears. So just for 2 minutes, I want you to lift your hands. Just for 2 minutes. And acknowledge His presence. And acknowledge His presence. See, this is what Jesus said. He said that He's seeking true worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth. Do you know what it means? It means that when you worship and you still think about the people around you, think about your problems, that's not spirit. When you worship from the spirit, it's only about you and, or it's only about God. It's no man's next to you, behind you. You just know it's just you and God. So when spirit ministers to spirit, we worship you. We worship you. I want to tell each and every one of you, the place we are standing on is holy ground. This is holy ground. Acknowledge your presence. We have the highest reverence for your presence. We respect the presence of God. Are you ready for what God is about to do in this place? Come on, can I say this again? Are you ready for what God is about to do in this place? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone in this place shall be touched this morning in the name of Jesus. That no man and no woman will leave as they came in Jesus' name. We exalt you this morning, Lord. We exalt you this morning. And I pray, Father, that this word shall change every life. This word shall change every heart. Every heart of stone shall be turned into a heart of flesh. Open our ears that we might hear what your spirit says to the church. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. And I want you just to give Him a hand of praise. This morning, we're just going to continue on the anointing. I've been teaching on a series of the anointing. And I don't need to say much about it. We all know that the power of God is here. If I have somebody that agrees with me, the power of God is here. It's so precious. Week after week after week after week after week after week after week. Before the service started, I wept. I couldn't stop. I said, Lord, how will I minister this morning? I just wept. There's no words. And this is what I want to explain to you, that many people, we mix it up. Many times we say, I feel the presence of God. But you know, the presence of God cannot be felt. It's known. Who hears me? It's known. The presence of God is known. It's the power you feel. Amen. So when you know, because this is what He said. He said, I will be with you until the very ends of the earth. Amen. So He's with us, and we know that He's here. Because when you have no words and it's just tears streaming down your face, that's the presence. That's when God becomes more real than your now. It's when there's no words. Tears becomes your language. Am I speaking to the right place? You've got no words. It's just tears. And I believe those tears ministers God, because that tears that you shed is language. Come on, it's language. That you don't have any other thing that comes from your mouth. You just stand in awe of how big He is. Come on, with holy reverence, you come before Him and you just know, I can't even look up. I'm too afraid to look up. I don't want to miss this opportunity. Have you ever experienced this? And I've seen this every single service, that people don't want to leave this place. Because you can tell them it's fine, you can go. They don't want to go. They want to be here, and that's a sign that they don't want to miss anything. They want God. They want God. I'm too afraid to miss. I want to be here every meeting because I'm afraid to miss out on what God wants to do. Come on, I want to tell you this morning, it's time that the anointing be restored. It's time when we cry out, God, that you will send out new oil. Come on, new fresh oil. We need new oil to touch us. Listen, you can try as long as you want to. Without the anointing, it's not going to work. We need the anointing of God. Who understands me in this place? We need the anointing of God. And I want to talk about three different types of anointing this morning. And this is what I'm going to teach on this morning. And I want you to grab a pen and paper and take some notes. And then we're going to see the demonstration of the anointing. Is that fine? Glory to God. I want to say this again. When you come in contact with the anointing of God, it not only affects your now, but it also affects your tomorrow. What does this mean? Is the anointing carries you through to tomorrow. Amen. The anointing is so powerful, so strong, that it can carry you through to tomorrow. Now, before I'm going to get to this teaching, think about, I said last Sunday, I said, if you think about air, air is a natural substance. You can feel it, but you can't see it. Who remembered that? I said electricity, you can feel it. If you put your finger in a plug, you can feel it, but you can't see it. The same with the anointing. The anointing is not a natural substance. It's a heavenly substance. You cannot see it, but oh boy, you can feel it. And you know what? The natural power, natural electricity, if you touch it, you can die. Come on, we know people that were shocked with electricity and they died. Now think about, the anointing of God is much more powerful than natural electricity. Amen. Come on, who understands what I'm saying? Is that right? God is more powerful than natural electricity. Come on, is my God powerful or isn't he? He's powerful. Now, if think about electricity that shocks you and you die. Think about how powerful the anointing can become. And there's three different types of the anointing that I'm going to teach on. And listen, I say this with all the respect, but I'm afraid to bring this teaching. Do you know why? Because I know what God speaking to me about the now, here, the upper room here. It is so holy. The presence of God is so holy in this place that you don't want to step out of line because you're too afraid what this anointing might do. And this is why this morning we respect the anointing above everything. We respect it. Amen. Come on. I said we respect the anointing of God. Now I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 22. This is John 20:22. It says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus took his disciples, and the word of God says, he breathed on them. In other words, receive the Holy Spirit. Let's try this again. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, and when he said this to them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the first time that the disciples received the anointing. This is the first time when they came in contact with the anointing. Think about what I'm saying now. I can't do this. I can't lay my hands on you and say, receive the presence of God. But I can lay my hands on you and say, receive the power or receive the anointing. The anointing is transferable. Who understands this? So when Jesus breathed on them, he blew on them, they received an impartation of the anointing. Now I want to talk about the first anointing. Every single one in this place, if you're born again, is anointed. Did you know that? Who understands this? And I'm going to teach this. The first anointing that I'm going to talk about is, I want to call it a salvation anointing. Or the leprous anointing. Because I've studied this. And I've seen in the book of Leviticus, you'll see it, that when a leprous man, when he was leprous, the priest had to anoint him. But what the priest did was that he took blood and he would pour out blood. He would anoint him with blood and then with oil. And that is a sign of sanctification. It's a sign to cleanse him. It's like a cleansing process. In other words, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you receive the leprous anointing. You were a leprous at once. Come on, you were a sinner, but Christ died for you. So the first anointing that you receive is the leprous anointing. That's the anointing that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you receive the anointing of salvation. Come on, somebody. This is why the book of 1 John 2 says that you've received the anointing of the Holy One. So when you give your life to Jesus, you've become the anointed of God. Come on, you have received a leprous anointing. In other words, a cleansing anointing. That's why the Bible talks about that He has given you a seal of the Holy Spirit. So when you give your life to Jesus, a sign that you belong to Him is that He has sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the first anointing. And that anointing, I was looking at the following. If you look at 1 Samuel 16 verse 13, this is also the first time that David was anointed. It's the first time David was anointed. When Samuel anointed David was in 1 Samuel 16, the first anointing, the leprous anointing. This anointing is powerful enough to kill a giant, but it's not powerful enough for dominion. All right, let's try this again. For those who do not know this, 1 Samuel 16 was before 1 Samuel 17. And 1 Samuel 17 is where David defeated Goliath. Come on. But 1 Samuel 16, Samuel anointed David. He poured out oil upon him and he was anointed for the first time. And the Bible says from that day, from that moment, the Holy Spirit was upon him for the rest of his life. This is what happens when you give your life to Jesus for the very first time. The Holy Spirit comes and He abides with you forever. I like that. And that anointing is so powerful that it can kill a Goliath. It can kill your giant. But it's not powerful enough for dominion. This is why you have to understand the different measures and levels to the anointing of God. And the anointing that you've got now on you is, if you don't have a powerful anointing, you're not going to see powerful results. But the deeper you go, the deeper the anointing. But somebody needs to understand this. The deeper you go, the deeper the crushing becomes. You have to be crushed for the oil to be drawn out of you. So the first anointing I'm talking about is the leprous anointing. It's the anointing that when you come to Jesus Christ, He anoints you. Come on, somebody help me. It's an anointing that you can face giants. Come on, you can kill any problem that comes your way. It's powerful enough. Every single one of you that's born again in this place this morning, you've got the power to overcome every situation because God is for you. Come on, and if He's for you, who can be against you? Come on, this is the anointing that's so powerful that God has given you that when a giant comes up before you, you do not have to run away. You can retaliate. Come on, you can fight back. Where's the anointed of God in this place this morning? Come on, you've received the salvation anointing. You have been born again, washed with the precious blood of Jesus, like the lepers. Come on, like the lepers, you were washed with the blood, anointed and sanctified. So every single one here right now, you're anointed of God. So even David received the first anointing in 1 Samuel 16. The disciples received a first anointing. Now, I want you to look at this. When they received their first anointing, they were mocked. People mocked them. Help me out. You've given your life to Jesus, people mock you. Oh, here's the Christians again. Oh, here's the pastor over there. Oh, these people walk with their Bibles under their arms. Come on, they mock you. Come on, I said they mock you. The Bible says that when the disciples received that anointing, they were mocked. Come on, they mocked them. They mocked them. They mocked that anointing. David received that first anointing and he became powerful. He killed Goliath. But I want to tell you something else. There's deeper. John 15 says, in John 14, 15 and 16 talks about the Holy Spirit. And the powerful portion is when Jesus said to them that you, when I go to the Father, I'll send you a helper. Somebody that will help you. And He will be with you and He will be within you. This is what Scripture says. Amen. So He's with you to lead you, to guide you, to help you. Come on, you're born again. You have received the Holy Spirit. He's the one that leads you. He's the one that helps you. Come on, He's the one that that's with you forever. When you're alone, you're never alone. Let me tell you, no born-again person is ever alone. You cannot be alone when the Holy Spirit is there. Can't be alone. But then I want you to quickly look at me. The second one is being spoken about in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. I want you to get the scripture on. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, just keep that on. The Bible says that Jesus breathed on his disciples. Is that correct? Received the Holy Spirit. Now they've received the first anointing. But now something happens when Jesus said to them, I want you to go into Jerusalem and I want you to wait in the upper room. Tarry. I like this name. The upper room. Tarry until you've received power from on high. But now they've received an anointing. They've received the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on them. But now Jesus says, listen, there's deeper. There's coming a level deeper. You have to wait. You have to tarry for this level. The first dimension, you walked in, you've asked for forgiveness, you've meant it, come on. You've meant it, He's forgiven you. But the second one comes through tarrying. Through waiting. What do you mean? Pressing in. Never stop unless God has not filled you up. You can't leave this church building not unless God has touched you and changed you and turned you upside down. You can't leave this place not until God has blessed you. Come on, am I speaking to somebody in this place? And this is the second anointing. And this anointing comes for a reason and it comes for a season. The Bible says that when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the place was shaken and they started speaking in tongues. Now this is what the anointing does. The anointing distributes gifts to people. This is why they speak in other tongues. Speaking in tongues is a gift. Did you know that? And people speak against speaking in tongues. But when you speak against speaking of tongues, you have to speak against miracles. You come and you have to speak against prophecy. If you don't believe in speaking of tongues, don't believe in prophecy either. It comes from the same Spirit. Come on. I said it comes from the same Spirit. You don't believe in speaking of tongues, don't believe in the gifts. It comes from the same Spirit. Scripture says they started speaking in tongues. I like that. Place was shaken by the power of God. And do you know why? There was unity. That everyone came to church for one reason. We want God to visit us. Jesus promised there will be a deeper level. Come on, Jesus promised that you shall receive power. When? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Come on, give me one of those. Please, if you don't mind, I want to show you something. Thank you. Acts 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Do you know what it means for the Holy Spirit to be on you? It's like putting on your t-shirt, putting on your jacket, putting on the garment. It's on you. This is how it's on you. Come on, you shall receive power when? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When He's laying on you, He's resting on you. This is what the anointing is. It's the hand of God resting heavily upon somebody's life. I'm talking about a priestly anointing. This is the anointing for service. When I'm at home and I'm cutting grass, I just have to ask my wife to say nothing now. When I'm cutting grass, thank you. I'm vessel of the man. But when I minister, I become vessel of the man of God. Because this is it. You need to understand the Holy Spirit is with you forever. But He's upon you for service. All right, I'm going to let that soak in for a minute. Because the Bible says that you should receive power so that you can become an effective witness. When I go to bed at night, I'm vessel of the man. Come on, tell somebody I'm the man. All right, I'm vessel of the man. But when God starts to use me, I become vessel of the man of God. Because now the Holy Spirit comes upon me. You become bold. Your words is no longer your words, it becomes His words. People can see the change in your eyes. They can see the fire of God on you. Come on, they can know exactly the minute when the anointing has struck their place. Come on, I'm speaking to you. It makes you bold. Priestly anointing. A priestly anointing. Say this with me, priestly anointing. If you study this, I'm going to quickly give you the scripture that you can read it at home. Exodus 30:30 talks about And God says, anoint Aaron to minister to me as a priest. I like it. So God says, anoint them to become to minister to me as a priest. That's a priestly anointing. It's when you become a minister of the gospel, you need that anointing. You see, public speaking in the final hours we're living is not going to do it anymore. All right, I'm going to try this side of church. Public speaking is no longer going to do it anymore. If you want to go to a place with a tickle in your ears, enjoy. But it's not going to help anymore. The season we are living in, we need the anointing. I said we need the anointing of God to shake us to the core. We need the anointing of God to shake every demonic spirit, to cast out demon spirits, to raise the dead. And public speaking is not going to do it. We need heaven to open up. Come on, I say we need new oil. We need new oil, fresh wine to fall on us. This is what we need in this hour we are living in. We don't need nice words. We need an encounter with the Most High God. Come on, we need that the anointing of Acts chapter 2, where the Bible says the place where they were assembled together was shaken by the power of God. Amen. Come on, lift your hands in this place and say, Lord, shake this place of your power. Shake, come on, say this again. Shake this place with your power. I don't want you just to say words. I want you to mean it right from your heart. I want you to say, Lord Jesus. Come on, mean this from your heart. Lord Jesus, shake this place with your power. This is what we want, Lord. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the first anointing is like a leprous anointing. It's like when you come to Jesus for the first time, the salvation's anointing. Amen. Like a leper that had to go through the cleansing of blood. We had to go through a cleansing of blood because it's only the blood that can forgive you. Who's with me this morning? Amen. Is that anointing that David, the first time he received that anointing and he killed Goliath. But then Jesus said there's going to be a deeper level. There's a deeper. You shall receive power and you'll become an effective witness. You can't be an effective witness if you can't raise the dead. You can't be an effective witness if you can't cleanse the lepers. You can't be an effective witness unless you can only be an effective witness when you can demonstrate the kingdom of God, not with words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen. People don't like this, but when the anointing comes upon you, God anoints you to heal every sickness. To raise the dead, come on, to cleanse the lepers. It's the anointing for ministry. Who understands me now? So when the anointing comes upon your life, for the second time, like in the book of Acts, it's for ministry purposes. And the ministry for ministry purposes, it lifts. You know what I've experienced? The presence of God is constant. But the anointing, you can't explain it. Because once it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. And what I've seen is that there's many things how people resist the anointing. And then there are things that how I can attract the anointing. If you do not know this, when you worship God, that attracts the anointing. Somebody that worships God from your spirit, from your innermost being, you attract the anointing. The anointing you will feel. I want to tell you in the next 20 minutes, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel the power of God on you. Come on, I said you're going to feel the power of God on you. It goes up and it goes down. It goes up. And when you pray in the Spirit, that draws the presence or the anointing, the power. It draws the power. This is why Paul says you have to pray in the Spirit always. In all occasions, pray in the Spirit. Because that draws the anointing upon your life. Now, I want to stop there for a second with this anointing. This anointing cannot be hijacked. It cannot be copied. It cannot be fabricated. The anointing that you sit under, you become. Come on, I've been teaching this for a while, but the anointing you sit under, you become. If you eat hamburgers, you're going to look like a hamburger. If you eat good, solid food spiritually, you'll become good, solid food. Amen? The anointing you honor. In fact, I want to say this. The Bible says, give honor to wherever honor is due. I want to honor every single member, every team member, every usher, every person that cleans toilets and carry coffee mugs and park people in the parking lot and switch on lights and with the music and with the cameras. I want to honor them. Come on, I want you to give them a hand. People that this doesn't just happen. I want to honor them for honoring the anointing that God has set upon my life. And I want to say this prophetically to each one that honors this anointing. I want to say this prophetically. You have not honored in vain. You see, the honor, the anointing that you honor will honor your life. It will come upon your life double. My prayer for every single one in this place is that you will do twice as much. That you do more than I do. That you'll see more than I see. Come on. That you will experience the grace and the glory of God twice as much on your life. That you'll raise twice as much people from dead as I did. That you will heal twice as much people. That you'll reach more souls. The anointing that you honor will honor you. The anointing that you've honored will make room for you. Come on, it will draw the favor of God, the blessings of God upon your life. If you sit under a teacher's anointing, you'll become a teacher. If you want to be mediocre, stay with mediocre people. But if you want to be supernatural, find people that is supernatural, that does what you want to do, and do it with them. You honor that anointing. It doesn't matter if you have to clean the toilets. Because there's a bigger picture. I've heard a preacher from America, John Hagee. His son spoke, Matt Hagee. And he said that a person came to me and said, listen, if that was my dad, I would have sat with him every single second. Because I want to hear his teachings. And he said he never understood why people wanted, he's my dad. I never understood, why do they want to sit with him? And he said, a second person came to him and said, if that was my dad, I will not allow him to sleep at night. I'll ask him questions. I'll sit at his feet. I'll drink and draw from the anointing. And he said, until the one day that God hit him, and then he understood everything. Never become familiar with a man of God. He can be your father. He can be your husband. He can be your brother. He can be your cousin. He can be your son. He can be your, doesn't matter. You never become familiar. Oh, come on. When you become familiar with the anointing, you will never receive from that anointing. You have to be, in fact, I rebuke the spirit of familiarity. Come, lift your hands. I rebuke the spirit of familiarity in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not become familiar. For those of you that's here every Sunday, don't ever come to a place and say, well, we are used to the presence of God every Sunday. We are used to anointing. We have to cherish it. We have to. Every encounter must be like the first time ever. You have to come to church with the attitude, I've never experienced the glory of God, but today it's going to be the first time. Don't say, oh, it's just vessel. I know this guy, man. We're playing tennis together. All right? You honor the anointing. Because the anointing doesn't come cheap. So, let's get back. That priestly anointing, the second anointing, is what they received in the upper room when they came together in one accord, in unity. Listen, God is a God of unity. Wherever there's unity, there's power. And do you know why I believe with all my heart that God is moving in this place the way He's moving? It's because we've got a lot of people in this place with the same mind, with the same purpose. We want God. We want God. I don't want anything. I want God. I don't want church. I don't want church. I want God. We've got many people in unity. And that is called the corporate anointing. So God hears your heart, your heart. And He says, wow, this is unity. Bang. The same fire that came down on 120 in the upper room is that same fire I'm talking about now. The anointing that's like liquid. Come on, a fire that's falling in this place. But listen, then there's deeper. With the first anointing that they received, they were mocked. Amen? Come on, like you were mocked when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. When the second anointing, after the upper room experience, they were threatened. They were threatened. Don't speak in His name anymore. We're going to kill you. We're going to throw you in prison. They were threatened. The first anointing, they mock you. The second anointing, they threaten you. The third anointing, they fear you. And I'm going to tell you now the third one. Come on, say this with me. The first anointing, they mock you. The second anointing, they threaten you. But the third anointing, they fear you. Have you ever seen people that they look at you and they can't look at you? because they fear what they see upon your life. It's not because they don't like your face. It's because they can't stand the fire that is within you. My God, I feel the power of God here. If you feel what I feel right now, you'll be so open, so hungry, so desperate. The anointing should be siphoned from. You can sit and pull from the anointing. Did you know that? Please just get this. Just get this. You can pull from that anointing. You can put the emphasis and say, Lord, I'm pulling. I'm pulling. The anointing is not for me. It's for you. The anointing on my life is to destroy the yokes on yours. The anointing is not for self-gain. It's for God's people. Is there somebody that I'm speaking to in this place? Now, the third anointing is in Acts chapter 4. When the disciples came together and the Bible says they started speaking to God, they prayed, they said, Lord, look at how they threaten us. They threaten us. Go read it. They threaten us. And they said, we pray that you will do miracles through the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Come on, they said, look at the threats. And the Bible says, and then again, the place was shaken by the power of God. Third anointing. I want to go back quickly to the second anointing. The second anointing, David also received the second anointing. And he was king over Judah. So he had dominion, but not everywhere. He was reigning over Judah, a small portion. But a third anointing, as the disciples received again in Acts chapter 4, David also received a fresh anointing. Because now the Bible says he's king over all Israel. I'm talking about an authority, a dominion. An anointing for dominion. Now, this anointing can become so dangerous. Listen to me, I'm getting somewhere. This anointing can become very dangerous. This anointing is so deep that it can, if you step out of line, the anointing can become an enemy. And it can kill you. Do you know what David said to Saul? That God anointed Saul, and Saul wanted to kill David. And the Bible talks about Saul that started backsliding. He turned his back on God. The Spirit of God left him and he wanted to kill David. But David said, I will not put my hand on the anointed of God. I will not stretch out my hand. And you know what? The one night Saul was sleeping, David could have killed him. And David just cut a piece off his mantle. And the next day he said, listen, I could have killed you. This is here's the proof in my hand. I've cut a part of your anointing. Or a part of your mantle, I could have killed you, but I will not touch the anointed of God. And you know what? David cut a piece of the mantle. But I believe the anointing that was meant for Saul came upon David. He cut a piece of the mantle. He said, listen, you were supposed to walk in this, but you were disobedient. You turned your back on God. And Saul died without God. Because the anointing turned against him as an enemy. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about an anointing so deep that in Acts chapter 5, the Bible says the power of God. Now listen, before I'm going to say this. In Acts, the Bible says the first time, and God added to the church daily. That was the second anointing. God added to the church daily. But after the third anointing, the Bible doesn't say God added. He said God multiplied. They couldn't count the people anymore. It was too much. With the third anointing, God doesn't just add to your life. He multiplies in such a fashion that your head will become dizzy. What did God just do now? My God. And just when you think breakthrough, another one, another one, another one. Amen? Am I in the right place? So now, talking about the third anointing that's so powerful, kingly anointing, to reign, to dominate. The Bible says that in the book of Acts chapter 5, the power of God, come on, I'm talking about the anointing, was so powerful that Ananias and Sapphira, they lied about the possession of the lands they sold. And they came to Peter, and Ananias said, I've sold the land, and this is for the amount of money that I've sold. But what's happening now is God said to Peter, they are lying. They're testing my spirit. And when it comes to this anointing, you have to be very careful what you say, because it will happen. Okay, you haven't listened. When I'm talking about the food anointing, when you speak, you have to be very careful what you say because it will happen. I heard a guy, he spoke against me, came out against me, spoke against me. I rebuked him, he died. I know. I've heard a great man of God from America. He said, he was in a meeting and he was speaking the word of God. And he said, God said to him, two men, ministers of the gospel, in this place, he's speaking against you. And he says, God showed him the two ministers, he switched off his mic, he walked towards them. He said, listen, 7 days from today, you'll die. You touched the anointed of God. He says, 7 days, the guy was dead. He said, the second one went off course. He started preaching different doctrines, and now he's on his deathbed. William Branham walked in that dimension, that he can walk up to you and he can tell you exactly, you and your wife said this and this just before the service started. He could tell you exactly where you lived, and he went on with your whole life. And the one guy, he said to his wife that he's gonna prove that William Branham is fake, and he's gonna tell him that he's got cancer, and William Branham's gonna pray for him. But when he came to William Branham, the Holy Spirit said to him, this guy is testing you, and he's testing the Spirit of God. And William Branham said to him, you do not have cancer. You've tested the Spirit of God and you lied to him. And because you did this, in 7 days you'll die of cancer. 7 days thereafter, he was dead. William Branham, God used him in such a powerful way. But you know what? When you enter that dimension, you have to be so careful. Do you know why? You have to stay close to the presence of God, because many people has gone crazy. William Branham started preaching, he's Elijah. And he died long before his time, because he went out of the plan of God for his life. The dominion upon his life was so powerful. Come on, I'm talking about an anointing that becomes so strong that people die because of sin. The Bible says that Peter was so anointed, he didn't even have to lay hands on people anymore. He was walking past them and his very shadow fell on them and they were healed. That's a deep anointing. That's dominion. This is why the centurion man said to Jesus, I've got a servant sick at home. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. Hang on, Lord. Oh, hang on, Lord. I know you've got authority. I know you've got dominion. You just speak a word. No longer do you need to come to my house and lay hands. You just speak the word and it shall be done. That's deep. Smith Wigglesworth. I've heard a story about him, and this is genuine. His wife died. And he was crying. And he says, I miss my wife. And he laid his hands on her. And he called her back. He said, come back in Jesus' name. And she woke up. And she said to him, why did you do that? And he said, I missed you. And she said, I was in a conversation with Jesus. Let me go back. I want to finish my conversation. He says, but I miss you. I want you with me. And she said, but I want to be with Jesus. He said, all right, honey, I love you. Go. And he said, he breathed out a last against his back. I'm talking about an anointing that's so powerful that you better fear that your life is right with God, lest they carry you out. Alexander Dowie, the Lord used that man with mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. But he went off course, also believed that he's Elijah. The Jeffries brothers. If you don't know the Jeffries brothers, go study them. The Jeffries brothers, they came to a church and they simply said, the king is here. And when they said the king is here, limbs started growing out. Where there were no eyeballs, eyeballs were created, legs grew out, fingers grew out. But yet, just before they died, they went off course with doctrinal issues. And this is why you have to be close to God. Your personal time with God will produce. When you have personal time with God, it will produce a presence, a substance that will be with you forever. Amen. And the minute you start to go off course, he will just pull you back and say, don't go there. It's an anointing that when you sin. Well, the first anointing, the leprous anointing, when you sin, you can come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. With the second anointing, being a minister, you can fall and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. But with the third anointing, when you sin, you better watch out. Because that's when you sign a death sentence. When you see a severe move of God, through signs, wonders, and miracles, you see the power of God, you enter in that third dimension. I've seen it all in our meetings. We've seen people getting healed under our shadow. We've seen people, all the miracles of the God's generals. We saw that in our meetings. And the one night I've cried before God, now just recently I cried out before God. I said, Lord, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss. I don't want my life to be over if it's not my time because of wrong teaching, wrong doctrine. I don't want to go to the left nor to the right. I want to be focused and I want to do what you want me to do. And I believe that anointing is coming back to the church. I believe it's coming back to the church. I believe we're living in that time that the anointing of God shall become so holy that people will be too afraid to sin. They will be too afraid to enter the presence of God because it's too holy. I believe we're living in a time where people will mock the Spirit of God and they will be carried out. The first anointing, they will mock you. The second one, they will threaten you. But the third one, they will fear you. Amen? Come on, am I speaking to the church? They will fear the power of God that's upon your life. They will fear the power of God. This is under that anointing. You have to be very careful what you say. It will happen. Call the things that is not though they are. Come on, I said, call the things that is not though they are. You speak a word of God and it shall be done. Imagine an anointing so powerful in church that they lied to the Holy Spirit and they died. Can you imagine how powerful that anointing must have been? Let me tell you something. They died because they've lied to the Holy Spirit. I believe with all my heart, the people that saw that trembled. They trembled. Today we come into the presence of God and we don't even care. We don't even care. It's not like nothing. Back then they trembled. It's not about a fear that he's going to kill me as a bad God. But it's a holy reverence. You know that he's too holy. Who are you, Lord? You can look down on me. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. I said, we are unworthy, church. We are unworthy. Thank Jesus for the blood. We can enter into boldness. There's a kingly anointing, there's dominion. It gives you such power, you speak it and it's done. When you see miracles in that level, live your life clean before God. Lest the Holy Spirit withdraws from you. This is why David said, cast me not away from your presence, Lord. Never take your Holy Spirit from me. And I want to tell you, if you want to cross over, you better get to live a holy life. Yeah, too many people want God's results now, but they're still playing footsie-footsie with the world. You can't do that. How can you put a demand on the blessing of God, but yet you want to party with this world? Lord, make us holy. Come on, make us holy, Lord. Make us holy. He's a holy God. The angels even know that. They cry out. There's certain angels that cry out. They bring the presence of God. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They know He's a holy God. The first anointing, they will mock you, people. Second one, they will threaten you. But the third one, they will fear you. So when you walk into a place, you've got the potential to change the atmosphere. Because the Spirit of God, this is His temple. Amen? So you walk into a place, now the atmosphere is different. Before you, it was depressed. Now you walked in, now there's light. Now there's peace. And how do I get that anointing? Well, I have to hunger for that anointing. I have to honor that anointing. Smith Wigglesworth, there was a woman a guy that played his piano and his wife sang for Smith Wigglesworth in his conferences. And they said that while Smith was preaching, a guy died. And Smith said, bring that man here. And they brought him to the front. Now they're carrying this man. He's dead. And Smith Wigglesworth punched him in the stomach with a fist. Bah! And the guy fell to the ground. And he said, pick him up again. And Smith Wigglesworth punched him again in the stomach. And again, the guy fell down. He said, lift him up. And this time, he punched him in the face. Punched him in the face. And the guy started breathing. That's dominion. William Branham, if you know how he died, his son drove a car before in front of him, and William Branham and his wife was behind him. And they were driving, and they came into a car accident. And his son, William Branham, his wife, the son saw it. The son pulled to the side of the road, and he got out, and he ran towards his father's car. And William Branham asked his son, "Where's your mom? Is she okay?" And he said, "Mom died." And he said, "Just put my hand on her." And he took his father's hand, placed it on his mom. She revived and he died. I'm talking about an anointing that they bury you, and yet the anointing of God is still on your bones. Like with Elisha, they buried him, he was bones. And they threw a man into the same grave, and the man's body touched the bones of Elijah and they revived. That's a holy anointing. Can you feel it in this place? I said, can you feel that anointing? Lift your hands if you can feel that anointing. Come on, if you feel that anointing, just lift your hands. Listen, I'm done almost, all right? I just want to say this. Just look at me and then I'm done, I promise. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Moses got what we believe, a second wife, or because what the scholars believe is his first wife died. His first wife was a Midianite. His second wife was an Ethiopian. And then they judged Moses. Aaron and his sister Miriam judged Moses. And the Bible says because they judged the man of God. Now I'm talking about Moses was walking in the third dimension of the anointing. Come on, he's lifting up a rod and water is parting. Oh, that's God Almighty. It's upon his life. Now they're speaking against the anointing of God. And you know what the Bible says? Leprosy struck Miriam. She was almost dying. Now think about this. Aaron also spoke against the anointing. Alright, I want you to listen to me. Aaron also spoke against, they together spoke against the man of God. But Miriam was struck with leprosy, Aaron not. Because Aaron was carrying a priestly garment. This is what the Bible says. Anoint Aaron to become a minister as a priest. So he had a garment. I want to use this again. He had a garment, a priestly garment. And as long as he had the garment, death couldn't come to him. But the Bible says on Mount Or, death was waiting for him because he spoke against the anointed of God. And on Mount Or, he didn't have the mantle anymore. Now death was waiting for him because he had to pay the price for speaking against God's anointed. Moses had to pray for Miriam and God healed her. Aaron was still fine. But God knew the day will come. That the garment will come off. And death will be waiting on Mount Or for him. Never touch the anointing of God. You can say, well, we're all anointed. No, we all have the leprous anointing. But not everybody is anointed as king and priest. And you touch the kingly anointing, you die. You die. You hear me? You put a curse upon your own life when you touch it against the anointed of God. Saul was in the wrong, but David said, I will not touch him. Amen? Even if you know they're wrong, pray. Pray. If you don't understand what's happening in this church now, don't judge it. Come ask questions and I'll answer gladly, but never speak against it. Because the mantle that you judge will judge you. Did you know the mantle that you judge, you will never walk with that power. You've judged it and Mount Or is waiting. I want you to lift your hands just quickly. Father, I thank you. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. For the beautiful anointing that's resting here. Lord, we've heard this morning. Yes, Holy Spirit. Just close your eyes and hear me. Moses walked in that third dimension of anointing. And the Bible says at the age of 120 years, his eyesight was still perfect. It's that anointing that keeps you healthy and keeps you living. Amen, isn't that wonderful? The Bible says Joshua, on his way to the mountain, he was 80 odd years old, and he said, I still feel like a 30 year old. That's what the anointing does. This is why there's no pension when you serve God. Amen, there's no pain. He keeps you healthy. He keeps you young. That's the anointing. 120 years old, And his eyesight is still perfect. Come on, lift your hands and say, Lord, I want the anointing. We honor your anointing this morning, Lord. I pray, Spirit of God, that you will pour out new oil. In the name of Jesus.